So our text is from Romans chapter 15. These words, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, I sincerely hope this sermon goes well. And I hope the rest of the service goes well. And I hope the Bible study after the service goes well. And even that all the activities that you guys have planned for this afternoon, I hope they go well. And in so hoping and saying that, I hope that this sermon, Bible study, activities this afternoon, all go well. I'm using the word hope in the way it's normally used nowadays. That is, as the expression of my desire that something in the future in my life goes the way I want it to go. Again, when I say that I hope something occurs, I'm expressing my desire, my wish, my longing, that something in the future in my life goes the way I want it to go. Now, understanding hope in this way, the word hope, the concept of hope, our text would speak about God as a God who fills us with just such desires, with just such wishes, just such longings for the things to go our way, or for things to go to our way in general. And even that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'd live our lives as Christians, simply desiring and wishing and longing for things to go our way, as Wilson Phillips sang way back in the early 1990s, if we could just hold on for one more day. Problem, of course, is that we don't really know. We don't really know what's going to happen to us from one moment to the next. So hope, in the way that we understand it, in the way the world uses it, is kind of like crossing our fingers when the field goal kicker is about to kick or not to kick a game-winning field goal. Or as in Germany, we would drücken die Daumen, literally squeeze the thumbs, because both crossing our fingers and squeezing our thumbs can somehow affect the future. But in reality, they cannot. And that's the problem with hope so understood. That is, that as we look forward in time, what we want to have happen may or may not happen, whether we want it to or not. And it's just that aspect of the way we understand hope that causes trouble. Lots of trouble. At least in our world of today, in our culture that sees the key to life is to live in hope. That is, with passion and with positivity and enthusiasm. And if we cannot do that, that is, live like that, if we find ourselves not hopeful, that is, with the desire for things to go our way, and instead we find ourselves overwhelmed with hopelessness, that is the idea that nothing in the future will go the way we would like it to go, then what? Then what do we do? Well, a boatload of problems is what follows, or at least that's what psychologists tell us. According to that field of study, which is extremely helpful in a variety of ways, there are actually nine forms of hopelessness. Those nine: alienation, forsakenness, lack of inspiration, doom, helplessness, captivity, powerlessness, oppression, and limitedness. All of these ideas, these emotions, can flow from the basic realization that what we want to happen in the future, not going to happen. It is what we'd hope for, it's not going to occur. Yes, we'd hoped to excel in athletics, but found out that as an athlete, we are not that exceptional. We'd hoped to make a splash on the internet, racking up millions of followers with little effort, but we're only able to generate a dozen or so of those followers. We'd hoped to be a world traveler, but found out we don't like flying. We'd hoped to create the perfect home and family, but are challenged daily just to maintain our sanity. I mean, we could go on and on and on here about hopes that are unfulfilled and remain unfulfilled, and the categorization of them would get us to those nine types of hopelessness. But what's happening there, really? What's happening? Well, we really want life to be one way, and it's not. And because it's not, what do we do then? We throw in the towel? And if that's the case, what really is hope? What really is hope? Well, hope as it's understood in Scripture, at least in our text, is not that self-centered desire for things to go our way. Hope is instead the sure and certain confidence that what God has promised will occur. So the discussion of hope in the season of Advent. For one of the things we're reminded of in the season of Advent is that what God promised to occur through the 4,000 years of the Old Testament, that is, that a Messiah would come to redeem the world from sin and death, that is, the creation itself from corruption, you and me, it actually occurred. It occurred when Jesus Christ was born. When God became man in Jesus Christ, when the eternal Son of God took on human flesh in the womb of Mary. So the promise to Moses of a prophet to lead his people, and the promise to David that a descendant would sit on his throne forever, the promise even to Adam and Eve that the serpent would be destroyed once and for all, they all came to fruition. They were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The hope of those looking forward to the coming Messiah throughout the Old Testament was not the sincere personal desire that something would happen, even though they were not sure whether or not it would happen. No. Their hope was the sure and certain confidence that it would happen, and so the ability to live their lives in that confidence. That's the hope about which our text speaks. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. We could ask then, and it's a good question to ask at this point, what's the difference then between faith and hope? What's the difference? Well, faith is believing the promises of God concerning the past and the present. That is, believing that the suffering and death of Christ was for me and atoned for my sins. Faith is believing the promise of God concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead over 2,000 years ago. Believing that Jesus was raised from the dead back then for my justification. So faith is believing the promises of God apply to me in the here and now. That now I am forgiven. That now I am justified. Now I have peace with God through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What God then promised in the distant past, the Old Testament, it was accomplished in the New Testament. The New Testament being the last will and testament of Jesus in which we still live today. That's faith. What is hope then? But our faith in the sure and certain fulfillment of what Christ has promised will happen in the future. Hope is faith looking toward forward in time. Hope is faith looking forward in time. Not back, not at the present. And what God has promised us, we know He will accomplish. And that being so, we can live now confidently, daily, knowing that God, our loving Heavenly Father, has all things in His hands. And when His Son, Jesus Christ, returns on the last day to judge the living and the dead, we ourselves will not be consigned to hell as those who have rejected Him, but will be welcomed into heaven to reign with Him there. Now, if our hope, so understood, were perfect and pure, if we could live every moment of every day in that future-looking faith, What peace we would have in believing. What joy we would have in living. For we would literally abound in hope. I'm reminded of this when I see people getting ready to go to a Vikings game. I mean, they're confident that the game's going to take place. And they look forward to attending the game, getting dressed appropriately and waiting in eager expectation to climb into the car and head down to the stadium. Those moments of sitting around beforehand, they're the interesting moments, aren't they? All bedecked with a jersey and perhaps a hat of some sort and almost a giddiness at the thought of going downtown to take in that spectacle. Now, at that moment, as they're waiting to go to see the game, are they feeling alienated or forsaken or lacking inspiration or an impending doom, a helplessness, a captivity, a powerlessness, an oppression, a limitedness? Of course not. And they are feeling none of those things because they are sure and certain that the game is going to take place. Holy Spirit, would that we look forward to the second coming of Christ in the same way. After all, we do know that it's going to occur. Why? Why do we know that it's going to occur? Because God has told us that it will. And God fulfills His promises. And we are already properly dressed, being clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We were clothed with that righteousness when we were baptized into Him. That is His death and resurrection. We're good to go. And since we are good to go, we can live daily with a sure and certain confidence in the future. Not in the sure and certain confidence that things we want to happen will happen, or the things we are hoping to achieve will be achieved, or the things that we have set as goals will be accomplished. But that's not a bad thing. For let's be honest with ourselves. How many times in life has there been a situation when we've really hoped for something, we've really wanted something to occur, and it did occur, but it didn't end up being what we thought it would be? How many times does that happen? I really hope this happens. And it happens, and you're like, And what about those times when we've hoped for something, and it has occurred, and we're like, wow, this is wonderful. It's kind of boring. Maybe something else will come along that will change my life in a different way. The thing about thinking about the future and hoping this way about it is that we know little or nothing about it. We know little or nothing about the future. And so thinking that somehow what we desire in the present to occur in the future will be the best and most advantageous thing to happen in that future, it's a bit arrogant on our part, isn't it? So why is it that hope so understood can quickly turn into hopelessness in all its different forms? Because what we desire, it's not accomplished, or it is accomplished and it turns out not to be what we thought it would be, or it is accomplished and, well, we're quickly bored with it and we head on to something else. Better, much better, is simply to live by faith in Jesus Christ, our hope being the sure and certain knowledge that we know what will happen in the future and that we will be brought to that moment through our lives by our loving Heavenly Father in His time and in His way. That is the hope that will bring us joy. That's the hope that will bring us peace. For it's not a hope that's based upon our success at achieving or our failure to desire the right thing, but it's a hope that is blessed or based on the promises of God to us. Promises that are always fulfilled. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.